We're going to go right into it. I'm going to start reading right from Deuteronomy 17. And we're going to start in 17:14. Get my little clickery thingy going here. All right. When you come to the land that Adonai your God is giving you, possess it and dwell in it. And you say, I will set a king over me. You will indeed set over yourselves a king, whom Adonai your God chooses. One from among your brothers will be appointed as king over you. You may not put a foreigner over you who is not your brother. Only he should not multiply horses for himself or make the people return to Egypt, because Adonai has said to you, you must never go back that way again. You know, we see horses frequently in Scripture. In fact, between the Tanakh, the Old Covenant, the Brit Hadashah, the New Covenant, we see horses mentioned 150 times. And there are a couple of different meanings to the imagery of the horse. For example, it could be aggressiveness. It could be stubbornness. It could, but most of the time, it's strength. Horses can pull, on average, 3 times their own weight. When you think about how large a horse is, you know, that could be a lot. So for the average horse, it can pull 2,500 pounds, each horse. You know, and this is why we can, when we talk about cars, right? When we talk about power of cars, we talk about horsepower. Because back then, when they were first coming up with the combustion engine, they understood the power of a horse. So it was an easy kind of changeover for them to see what it really meant. Now, in the time of Scripture, when Scripture was written, they couldn't even dream of cars, but they did dream of power. They dreamt of increasing their own strength. The way they did this was they looked around and they saw what was available. A horse was available. And then they looked, how could they increase the power of the horse? Chariots. So they're always looking for a way of making strength out of what they had. Now, we just read in Deuteronomy that Israel wanted to set a king over them. Over themselves, even. But why? It was a sign of strength in the world around them. It was as if saying, see, we have a king just like you guys do. And look how strong and handsome he is. Well, Adonai said that when you say you want a king, you notice he didn't say when you ask for a king. He said, when you say you want a king, okay, you can have a king, but not the strength that you think a king will bring. In fact, in the Hebrew, it says, Rach lo rabah lo susim, which means, what's it mean? It means, but not he shall multiply to himself horses. The accumulation of horses was a sign not just of power, but wealth back then. Adonai says, instead, listen to my instructions and don't go after the strength that the world chases. And don't go back to Egypt for horses, meaning don't rely on anyone else for strength. Egypt not only had a lot of horses, but it was the strongest nation at the time. So the word that Adonai had for Israel was, do not go to Egypt for your strength, but come to Adonai for your strength. Still the word today for us. We read this over and over again throughout Scripture. Look at what Adonai said about horses out of the book of Job. Do you give the horse its strength? Do you clothe his neck with a mane? Do you cause him to leap like locust? His majestic snorting is terrifying. He pours in the valley, and exalting his strength, he charges into the fray. He laughs at fear and is not dismayed. He does not recoil from the sword. On him the quiver rattles, the spear and the javelin flash. With quaking and excitement, he swallows up the ground. He cannot stand still when the shofar sounds. At the blast of the shofar, he says, "Aha!" From the distance, he smells battle, the shout of the captains, and the battle cry. The description of the horse is one of not just raw power, but a fearlessness going into the battle for Adonai. Not only are we told of the strength of the horse here in the physical, but we're also told that it's spiritually strong. When the shofar sounds, he does not run from the battle, but looks forward to it, running towards the battle with all of its weapons that it can carry. This should be us as well. When we hear the call of Adonai in our spirit, we should also run towards the call of battle that Adonai has for us, not just with excitement, but with the tools that he's given us to fight with. Most of all, not just because we're strong or brave, but because it's Adonai that is with us, making us strong and brave. Adonai is not looking for us to run into the battle with our own strength. Nor does he even want us to. It is not our own strength that we're to use. Look at what the psalmist says in Psalm 147, starting in verse 10. He delights not in the horse's strength, nor takes pleasure in a man's legs. Adonai delights in those who revere him, in those who trust in his loving kindness. It's not the strength that we can find in ourselves, or even in those things around us, like the horse, the tools of the earth that we can gather. It's not the power of our own legs. That's not what he delights in. Our own strength is not what he delights in. But it's the reverence and the trust that we have in him that delights him. He does not need us to bring power to any fight because he has plenty of it on his own. This is just like the Lord has no need for us to bring food to him because he has plenty of it if he wants it. He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills, right? We know that saying. Listen to what Adonai says through the psalmist in Psalm 50, starting in verse 12. If I were hungry, I would not tell you, for the world is mine and all it contains. Do I eat the flesh of bulls or drink the blood of goats? Offer God a sacrifice of thank offerings, then fulfill your vows to Elyon. Call upon me in the day of trouble. When I rescue you, you will honor me. He doesn't need to feed on physical sacrifices that we bring to him. But it's the heart attitude while we bring those sacrifices that he feeds upon. And just like the food, there's no need for us to bring our own strength. But instead, he wants us to bring our weaknesses to him. Our showing him our weakness is part of our heart attitude that he is looking for, that total surrender to him. This is how we have to feed him. Again, he doesn't need to eat like we do in the physical, but what does he feed on? He feeds on the heart attitude that we have when we bring our sacrifices, that we bring it with the right heart attitude. Then we're strengthened. So yeah, we don't offer up cattle or goats or bulls anymore. But we do make other offerings to him, whether it be financial or whether it be a spiritual offering or the work within here in the synagogue? And does he feed on the work or the finances? No, he feeds on our heart's attitude towards him as we're doing it. That's what he's looking for. He's not looking for the physical things. He's looking for our heart attitude. When Israel was offering up bulls and goats, he wasn't saying, oh, good, my next meal. He was saying, oh, look at the heart attitude as they make the offering. That has always been what he's looking for. Again, look at what it says in Psalm 20. Now I know that Adonai saves his anointed. He answers him from his holy heaven with saving strength of his right hand. We trust in Adonai, and that means to let go of the strength of the world and hold on to the name of Adonai and his son Yeshua. It means not trusting in our own strength, not trusting in our own ideas. It means total surrender when the forces of evil come against us. Not to surrender to evil, but to surrender to Adonai. That doesn't mean laying down and doing nothing just so that he can do the fight. No. But it does mean trusting in his plan and fighting alongside him and with his weapons. And the greatest of these weapons are prayer and faith. There are those who would ask, but why am I weak then? Or why do I have something that I just can't get off of me or can't get out of me? Shaul calls this a thorn, right? You remember, he says, why am I? He's asked Adonai multiple times to remove it. So let's take a look at what he says about it in 2 Corinthians 12. Actually, 2 Corinthians 12b. Let's see, where am I? Thank you. Yes, it is. Is there one more before that? So that. It starts with so that. So there we go. Thank you. We all depend on someone. So that I would not exalt myself. This is Shaul speaking. So that I would not exalt myself, a thorn in the flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan to torment me, so I would not exalt myself. I pleaded with the Lord three times about this, that it might leave me. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient to you, for power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly in my weakness, so that the power of Messiah may dwell in me. For Messiah's sake, then, I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in distresses, in persecutions, in calamities. For when I am weak, then I am strong. We may not have the same thorns that Shaul had in his life. And I'm sure that we don't have them for the same reasons that Shaul has them. But we all seem to have something in our life that can be seen as a thorn in our flesh. And what do I call our flesh? Our flesh is, yeah, our body, but it's also our minds. Shaul asked for it to be taken from him, but Adonai thought that it was better for him to have it. We also can ask for our thorns to be removed, or the mountain moved from in front of us, or the pain taken from us by his mercy and his grace. But there are going to be times that we're told either no or not yet. And why? Because he knows what it is, why it is, and what we need at this time. It is from him then. If it's from him, it has a purpose. It has a purpose. So the first thing that we need to examine about the thorn is, Where does it come from? The problem is, a thorn from Satan looks like the same as a thorn from Adonai many times. We confuse the two. We can't see the difference. The why it's there is what we need to do first. When we ask Adonai, take this thorn, first we need to ask him, hey, where is it from? Is it from you? Have I done something? Is there something I need to learn before this thorn is taken away from me? If that's the case, then once we take care of what needs to be taken care of, that thorn will be removed. So we need to look and ask the Ruach to reveal so that we can take care of it, so that thorn can be removed. When we look at Scripture, we get a picture of what the strength of Adonai will look like and how we can get the opportunity to use it. Look at the description at the end of Revelation, at the final battle. Here's the description of him to us, to Adonai. Then I saw, I'm going to read 19, Revelation 19, 11, then I'm going to skip down to 14. Then I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse. The one riding on it is called Faithful and True. And he judges and makes war in righteousness. And the armies of heaven, clothed in fine linen, white and clean, were following him on white horses. He is the one on the white horse who judges, and it's true, who's faithful. He judges. He makes war in righteousness. We are the one who's following him on white horses. So get a picture of this. The greatest strength of all is riding on strength. But then we're told just a few verses later that we're going into battle with him, and we'll also be riding on strength. This strength will come from him. It'll be his strength, but he will still be the strongest of all. We will have no fear, not because we're strong, but because the strongest one of all will be leading us into battle. Not only that, but we know the ending already. The enemy is ended at the end. He will be wiped out. Eternal peace will reign over the kingdom of Adonai. Our eternal peace is assured when we're riding with him. This is the choice that each person has to make. Will we ride into battle with assured victory with him by our faith in the salvation that's offered by Yeshua's blood? Or will we join forces with Satan and be assured defeat? With victory comes eternal comfort and joy, which is being in his presence. With defeat comes eternal suffering, being in the pit of hell. And I'm not saying this to scare people. I'm saying it so that people have all the information they need in order to make the right choice. Even if you say, I choose not to choose, I don't want to make that choice. Even if you think you're not making a choice, you did. You just don't realize it. For not making a choice is not siding with Adonai. That was your choice, which puts you into Satan's camp. You don't have to make a choice, but the default of not making the choice is the act of making the choice to side with the world, to side with Satan. And it comes with a defeat that is forever. In the Tanakh, we're told that we will have to make a choice. The psalmist says about this choice in Psalm 73, starting in 25. Whom have I in heaven but you? On earth there is none I desire besides you. My flesh and my heart may fail, But God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. For behold, those far from you will perish. You put an end to all who, like a harlot, are unfaithful to you. But for me, it is good to be near God. I have made my Lord Adonai my refuge, so I will tell of all your works. You have to make that choice. Now it says that flesh and heart fail. In the Hebrew, the word for fail is kalah, which means that it runs out. You know, it's not a temporary, I'm tired. Your strength runs out. It just stops. It's not speaking of the current times. It's speaking of an end time, the eternal. That eternal time when we'll be either be with or without Adonai. That time that we'll be unable to do anything because they'll have no strength left. In Psalm 73, we read it's not a call to gain strength for this life, but it's a call to gain strength in the life to come. Not to just think about the time we're living through, but to concern ourselves about the time that is for all time. The ones who are far from Adonai have to worry that they'll have no strength. But those with Adonai, because of the atoning blood of Messiah Yeshua, will not have to worry about losing their strength. Not because they'll carry over their own strength for eternity. But because they'll have a better strength that comes from Adonai. Hear the prophet Isaiah. Hear what he has to say about eternity. There are too many who think that Isaiah is a prophet just about the time that he's assigned to. But he's a prophet of more than just that time. More than the time he was in, more than a certain just a little bit ahead of when he was speaking. He was actually speaking about eternity. Isaiah 41:8. But you, Israel, my servant, Jacob, who I have chosen, descendant of Abraham, my friend, I took hold of you from the ends of the earth and called from its uttermost parts and said to you, you are my servant. I have chosen you, not rejected you. Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Surely I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. It says that he took hold of his people from the ends of the earth. Meaning not just from the four corners of the earth, but from the end of the earth. Adonai says that it is when you give yourself over to him, then you become the servant of Adonai, that you will be strengthened and helped by him. It's in this surrender that we gain strength. It's not a weakness to surrender to him as the world would think of as a surrender. The weakness is actually not allowing yourself to trust in Adonai as King of Kings and allowing him to be our strength and our wisdom in this life. We have to choose where our strength will come from, where our wisdom comes from, where our freedom comes from, where our friendship comes from, where our brotherhood comes from, and where our eternity comes from. Father, we thank you for your word, that it's true and eternal, that you are our strength, and that strength is true and eternal, that you never fail. Ruach, we ask that even as we go forth, we can give people the information they need to make that correct information. Let that create the correct decision, that they would not see things as the world sees it, that they have to have strength on their own, that they need muscles, that they need a mental fortitude, as the world thinks of it. Because that is not where they're going to gain their victory. Victories in the world are short-sighted. We need to turn ourselves to you and turn ourselves to that eternal victory. So we thank you for your word. We thank you for the Ruach. We thank you for your love and your mercy that allows us to come close to you. We just thank you and praise you. And everyone says, amen and amen.